Morning, Faith Walkers. About 2 weeks ago when I started preparing for this lesson, in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, and the key verses of this chapter are verses 19 and 20. So I wanted to come up with a theme that relates to these two verses. So I got up early in the morning, like I usually do, and spent time with my Lord and His Word. So I read the chapter, and I prayed to God about it, so that He would suggest a good theme. And I didn't hear anything. So the next morning, again I met with the Lord, but this time I read the chapter a second time before praying. And again, I heard nothing. But I wasn't discouraged because I knew there were people praying for me who knew I was going to do this lesson today. And I've been in a spiritual drought before. And whenever you're in a spiritual drought, you know there's spiritual warfare going on. So it didn't upset me too much. But on the third day, the dogs woke me up extra early than usual. So I said, this must be a sign from God. He wants to talk to me. He's finally got a theme for me. So I got the coffee going, and I let the dogs out, and then I let them back in. Threw some water on my face and got ready to have my first cup of coffee with my Lord. Opened the Bible to chapter 6 and read chapter 6, not just once, not just twice, but three times. And then I meditated and prayed extra longer. And guess what? Nothing happened. So I got real quiet, and I allowed God to really check me out in my heart. And in my memory, I fell back on an old verse that I always used to fall back on. But I haven't been using it lately. It's the verse we find in Matthew 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then everything else will fall into place. Now that's a Stashi version of it. But I didn't want to use a verse for a theme. So I wrote it down anyway, thinking maybe we can just use it as a memory verse. So I got ready to go to work, and my wife says, Stash, you're starting to look like you need a haircut. So I said, okay, I'll have to stop over at Herb's and see if he can get me in today. And Herb Fisher is a brother here at Faith Walkers, for some of you new guys who haven't met him yet. And as I'm sitting in the barber's chair, I see a book sitting on his counter. And it was hard for me to make out the title. So I said, Herb, what's that book you have there? He picks it up and says, oh, this? This is a great book. And the title of the book was My Utmost for His Highest. And I said, that's it. That's the theme I was looking for. That fits these two verses to a T. That's the lesson I'm doing in 2 weeks. And Herb said, you gotta be kidding me. There's a true answer to prayer for me. I believe that was God's way of letting me see how God works within the body of Christ that we belong to. How He uses each and every one of us to help build up the body as we grow and mature in the faith. I believe that was God's way of telling us today, I'm with you guys. So even if Herb doesn't make it here today, God still used His faithful hands to contribute to the lesson today. And this lesson is probably the hardest lesson I ever had to do. So I asked for some help to read the chapter, and I picked out four men who are going to help me out this morning. Four men with four verses. And Joe, I believe you're first.
Is any one of you, when he has a case against his neighbor, dare to go to law before the unrighteousness and not before the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is judged by you, are you not competent to constitute the smallest law court? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more matters in this life? If when you have law courts dealing with matters of this life, do you appoint them as judges who are of no account in the church?
Thank you, Joe. Lowell, I think you're next.
I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not among you one wise man who will be able to decide between his brethren? But brother goes to law with brother, and that before unbelievers? Actually, then it is already a defeat for you that you have lost it with one another. Why not rather be wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? On the contrary, you yourselves wrong and defraud. You do this even to your brethren.
Thank you, Lowell. Chuck, we need your big voice over there. You're way in the back.
I got the King James one.
That'll work.
So that might be different.
Can you stand up, though, so everybody can?
I know that the unjust will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, adulterers, nor by prostitutes. Sodomites not, nor thieves, nor the greedy, not drunkards, nor slanderers, nor robbers will inherit the kingdom of God. That is what some of you used to be, but now you have had yourself washed. You were sanctified, you were justified in the same name of the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of your God. Sexuality mortal. Everything in lawful for me, but not everything beneficial. Everything is lawful for me, but it will not be let myself be dominated by anything. Food for the stomach, and the stomach for food, but God will do away with both the one and the other. The body, however, is not for immortality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. God raised the Lord and will also raise us by His power.
Fred, you want to finish up with 15 through...
Thank you for taking the first two verses of mine. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then make the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh.
Can you just finish the rest, Fred, as long as he...
But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Want me to read those last two verses?
Please, please.
Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you had from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Thank you, Fred. The wisdom of God teaches us that truth without love is brutality. And love without truth is hypocrisy. Does God allow a man to live his Christian life in the power of his own flesh without striking that man dead on the spot for mocking his son? Is that permissible? Sure. I did that for the first 45 years of my life before I was saved, before I was born again. But was it profitable? Not in my case. So why was God so patient with me? Because his son was praying for me from the cross. And he said, Father, forgive Stosh. Because he's brain dead. And he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know what he's doing with his physical life. And he doesn't know what he's doing with his spiritual life. He's running around like a chicken with his head cut off. Spilling a lot of blood. Because he's not connected to the head. And if I'm not connected to the head, then I don't have the mind of Christ living in me. And if I don't have the mind of Christ living in me, then I have no wisdom. And the things I don't want to do, I end up doing anyway. And that's called sin. We just finished the book of Jonah. The unprofitable prophet. And because his heart was not right with God nor his fellow man, he decided what was best for himself instead of what was best for God. And what was best for him was revenge. He wanted God to give the Ninevites what they deserved. So he decided not to be salt and light to the unsaved. But instead, he decided to suppress the truth that God gave him so that he could gratify his flesh. So he decided to take a Mediterranean cruise. So Jesus uses the sign of Jonah as an allegory. That fallen men will always be fallen men. Unless God does a miracle in our life called the resurrection from spiritual death. That tells us something. It's impossible for man to determine for himself the difference between what's good and what's evil. Without the wisdom of God living in us, which is the Spirit of Christ, our only hope of glory. Because without Christ living in us, we can do nothing that's pleasing to God. And he will spit us out like lukewarm coffee. It's not easy to do everything that God commands us to do in the spirit of our God. When the world around us is rapidly turning into a cesspool, as in the days of Noah. And the only believers that you know are the members of your own church family, called the Ecclesia, God's church, made up of both born-again Jews and born-again Gentiles, just as the church in Corinth was. Sexual immorality is the most wicked idolatry to the natural flesh because it gratifies nothing but the flesh. It does nothing for the Spirit of God living in us. And when a Christian performs sexual immorality, he does it right in the throne room of God. So the God, the Father, has to turn his head. God, the Son, is crying out, "Why are you forsaking me?" And it's not the best thing for the Holy Spirit to be grieving while he's living in us. Because then we have to walk around feeling guilty and ashamed. And that's not the way God wants us to live our life as Christians. He wants us to live with joy, hope, and love. And Satan uses sexual immorality to bring down churches. And sexual immorality is rampant all around us today. You can't even watch the Andy Griffith Show without a Viagra commercial. And it's not only around the church, but it's even creeping into the church. And it's not only in the pews where the people are, but it's even creeping into the pulpits. And I know that the Catholic churches are getting most of the publicity right now, but it's not only the Catholic churches. It's also in the Protestant and evangelical churches as well. And it breaks my heart to see little boys with rosy red cheeks singing their hearts out for Jesus in a boys' choir. And then 10 years later, having to find out that those same boys died because some priest or pastor gave them AIDS. And the Christian families have no choice but to sue their own churches because their own churches refuse to clean up their own cesspool, as in the days of Noah. The saddest story I ever heard is about a young man who climbed the ladder of success. Who was professing to be a Christian. And because his company had such a good year, the boss took all the vice presidents to Las Vegas for 3 days and three nights. And everything was on the house. They stayed at the best hotel. They ate the best food. They drank top shelf whiskey. And they even gambled at the roulette tables. And then to top it all off, the president paid for the most expensive escort service that money can buy. And in this escort service, some of the most beautiful women in the whole world were willing to sell their bodies. So our Christian friend stayed in the hotel, ate the best food, even drank some of the whiskey, gambled away some money, but he refused to have sex with one of these women. He did real good for the first two nights, but on the last night, he broke down because the peer pressure got too much for him. So he decided to go to bed with one of these women. And then in the morning when he woke up, he looked across his bed and she was sitting in a chair, putting her clothes back on. And as she bent over to put her nylons on her legs, she looked at him and said, "Your boss tells me that you're a Christian." He says, "Yes, that's right." She says, "Are you married?" He says, "Yes, I am. I've been married for 5 years." "Do you have any children?" He said, "Yes, I've got a 3-year-old boy and a 2-year-old boy." She says, "Aren't you afraid that your God is going to punish you?" He said, "No, all I have to do is confess my sins and he'll be faithful to forgive me." And then she says, "Well, do you think your God could ever forgive me for what I'm doing?" And he said, "Sure. All you got to do is tell him you're sorry, and he'll forgive you." So as she got up to walk out of the room, she looked at him and she says, "Well, thank you very much for a very nice evening. And thank you for sharing me with your God. And oh, by the way, congratulations, because you are now entered into the world of AIDS." You see, when this woman wanted to get out from under the bondage of sin that she was under, she went to a priest she thought she could trust. But instead of giving her the good news of the gospel, "Don't you know that you were bought with a price? Don't you know you no longer have to be under this bondage of sin? That if you repent and claim Jesus as your Lord, he'll save you?" But instead, he suppressed the truth so that he could gratify his flesh. So he convinced her to go to bed with him, not knowing he had AIDS. And now she was returning the favor. She was getting her revenge by giving AIDS to everyone who professes to be a Christian. Is it permissible for a soldier in God's service to put down his armor so that Satan can use his poison darts without losing his salvation? Sure. Because once you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you cannot lose your salvation on the spiritual level. But on the natural level, where we live, the consequence of sin still remains. So is it permissible for a Christian to fall into sin? Sure. But will it be profitable for God's highest? We've got 3 questions today, and I'll come up in about a half hour to give us a heads up so we can start praying for one each other. Thank you for coming, and God bless you in the Word.
the sound. Okay, thanks, Tasha.